It happened that as Jesus made his way toward Jerusalem, he crossed over the border between Samaria and Galilee. As he entered the village, 10 men, all lepers, met him. They kept their distance but raised their voices, calling out, "Jesus, have mercy on us." Taking a good look at them, he said, "Go and show yourself to the priest." They went, and while they were still on their way, became clean. One of them, when he realized that he was healed, turned around and came back, shouting his gratitude, glorifying God. He kneeled at Jesus' feet, so grateful. He couldn't thank him enough. He was a Samaritan. Jesus said, "Were not 10 healed? Where are the 9? Can none be found to come back and give glory to God except this outsider?" And then he said to him, "Get up. On your way, your faith has healed and saved you."
Hey, welcome to URA Community Church. My name is Ron. I'm the lead pastor here. It's so good to have all of you with us today, just hanging out on this first day of November. How many have a sugar hangover? Yeah, don't tell me about your other hangovers. I don't want, you know, man, that's what you do up here. But no, sugar, man, this is a great time of year. I love this time of year, not because I love Halloween. Don't get me confused with this time of year. I love this time of year where it begins this transition into the colder weather, the beautiful leaves, all of the things that kind of come along, and then we wrap it up with Thanksgiving, which kicks us off into what? Christmas, right? And but it really doesn't now, you know, like the 4th of July kicks us off into Christmas. But that's a whole nother story and a whole nother Facebook post. But anyway, so the reality is that this time of year is a cool time to be just hanging out together. It's a great time to find a fire pit somewhere and light it up and gather around it. Friday nights at the pastor's house, don't forget, if you ever want to come hang out, my house, Friday night, 7 o'clock, you're welcome to do it. We light up a fire pit. We have food and all kinds of stuff. We play pool and all of that. So it's just a great time to hang out. But this time of year, you know, when we come together, that there's something about Thanksgiving and really about Halloween that's kind of cool, because when you go to somebody's house on Halloween, what do they do for you? Yeah, if you're lucky, they give you candy. They don't give you eggs. That's a whole, you know, like boom kind of thing like I've never done before in my life. Anyway, but no, what they give you something, right? See, when you think about Halloween, it's kind of cool because there's a gift. There's a giving that takes place. And when we emphasize the giving and kind of the good aspects of Halloween, it can be a great time to really give and to share your faith and everything else. So I know some churches did a great job last night doing that. And so I'm so thankful that they do that. And for you, those of you that were part of just doing that at your house, I hope you did that with an attitude and atmosphere of giving to just share your faith. But the reality is, here we are kicking off November with a brand new series here at URA Community Church. And not only are we kicking it off here at URA Community, but we're also kicking this series off at 5 other churches around our area. It's really cool. We have come together with 5 other churches. We all came to the table and we began to put together this series. And it's really cool. One of those churches being what used to be one of our sister campuses while we were with High Rock. It's now Fusion City Church. So they're doing this with us. And then several other churches, mostly from the Cabarrus County area. But it's cool to just come together because the church is the church. Doesn't matter what county it's in or what city it's in or what state it's in. The church is the church. And so it's great that we can come together and work with them and share our talents and all of the things that come together as part of doing this. And so you'll be seeing a little bit more and hearing a little bit more about that as we go through this month. But each week we'll be working together on messages that we developed as a group of pastors. And it's really cool to be able to share that. This series really addresses one of the simplest solutions to so many of our and really the world's problems. It addresses something that I think if we had more of, then we would be able to see less of a lot of problems. It addresses the need for us to be able to recognize and say thank you to people that have done things for us. Being able to acknowledge that we've been given to, and to be able to acknowledge that. Now the problem is that most of us have dressed ourselves up with something that goes contrary to that. Just curious, how many people dressed up in some fashion this week or last night or did something, wore some little costume, did something? That's all, really? Man, I was surprised. I figured there would be more that would do something. But anyway, that's really cool. And so you dress up as something, but the rest of us often dress up in this other costume. This costume is kind of, it's a one-size-fits-all. It doesn't matter whether you're young or old. It doesn't matter if you're short or tall. It doesn't matter if you're thin or wide. Do you like how I put that, thin or wide? That was kind of cool because I happen to fit the wide variety. So I thought I was going to be kind about that. But anyway, this costume fits all of us. And to be quite honest, most of us wear it a good bit of the time. It's the costume of ungratefulness. Now, you would probably say, I'm never ungrateful. I'm always thankful for what I have. Well, as we go through this, let me challenge you to think about it a little bit different. Sure, you may be grateful. You may be thankful for everything that you have. But the reality is, do you ever express that? Do you ever demonstrate it? Do you ever say it? Because I know for me, I often don't. You know, we all deal with being thankful. And we also deal with being unthankful. There was a dog one day that walked into a butcher shop. Dog walks in, the butcher's there, and the dog has a purse hanging in its mouth. And the butcher looks at the dog and is like, you know, what's up? What, you know, what's the deal, boy? You know, did you come to buy some meat? Woof! And the butcher kind of takes a second and he looks at him and he says, well, did you come to buy liver or bacon or steak? Woof! Butcher says, okay, well, did you come to buy a half a pound of steak or a pound of steak? Woof! So the butcher says, okay. So he cuts off a pound of steak. He wraps it up. He looks in the purse. He finds money for the steak. He takes the money out, puts the steak in the purse. The dog picks it up and takes off out the door. So the butcher's like, he is like, what in the world? You know, he's really intrigued by this. So he decides to follow the dog. Dog goes down a couple blocks, goes into an apartment building, and goes up the stairs to the third floor and begins to scratch on the door. Butcher's coming up the steps. He notices that the door opens up, and this man begins to yell at the dog as he lets him in. He said, hey, wait. Butcher's like, what, you know, man, that is the most intelligent dog I've ever seen in my life. And the man says, you're intelligent? Are you kidding me? It's the third time this week he's forgotten his key. Yeah, some of you are like, oh my goodness. So I told our speaker last week, I said, listen, you can be cheesy all the time. They're used to me doing it, and proof is there. But the reality is the guy wasn't thankful. He had this dog that would go to the butcher shop for him, but he wasn't thankful enough to even be willing to open the door for him. And I think for a lot of us, we fit into that sometimes. We're unthankful and ungrateful for the things that we have and the things that we do. Thank you is a phrase that most of us learn when we're kids. I mean, it's a very important thing. Our moms and dads, you know, taught us that saying thank you is the key to so many things. In fact, it's two of the most important words that we can ever say. But, you know, there is a third important word, and we can learn that from one of Pastor Gabe's childhood heroes. It's the purple dinosaur.
There are lots of things we can do to be nice. Sometimes they're hard to remember. But there are two little things you should never forget. From January through December.
We're talking about please and thank you. They're called the magic words. If you want nice things to happen, they're the words that should be heard. Remember please and thank you, cause they're the magic words.
Use them in the morning, at noon, at night, cause it's a great way to be polite.
Please and thank you, they're the magic words.
No.
We're talking about please and thank you. They're called the magic words. If you want nice things to happen, they're the words that should be heard. Remember please and thank you, cause they're the magic words.
Use them in the morning, at noon, and night, cause it's a great way to be polite.
Please and thank you, they're the magic words.
Yeah, all right. All right, so now it will be in your heads all day long. I have done it to you. Please and thank you. When my oldest daughter, Allie, was young, man, couldn't tell you how many times we watched that. And so I do know those words by heart, unfortunately. And so I'm scarred the rest of my adult life. But anyway, so please and thank you. Thank you is so important for us. We need to be able to have that in our repertoire. It needs to be very close to the surface of who we are. I know for me, though, I struggle. I struggle with people that don't say thank you. Are you with me? You stand and you hold the door for a group of people, and you might get one of them that says thank you. If you're lucky, you're in traffic, especially at a Christian concert, and you try to let somebody out in front of you, they might wave at you to say thank you. You sacrifice for your kids so they can have the latest tech gear. And all you want is a little thank you, okay? That one isn't personal at all, but anyway. But we want to hear thank you, don't we? But oftentimes the ungrateful person is not the people around us, it's the people, it's us, it's the person within. I know that so often I struggle with this, that though I may be thankful for something, I tend to forget to say it. I tend to forget to show it. So often somebody does something really cool and really nice, and before long, life is happening, and next thing you know, you've moved on to the next thing, and you've not ever stopped to say thank you to the person who's done something very kind for you, or that you've noticed that somebody's done something, just been obedient to God because they've done something to bless you with it, and you just totally forget to really just say thank you. I know for me, I'm like the world's worst, because I just get so far ahead of myself, and I forget to just take a moment and say thank you. And so I think for all of us, if we're honest in the room, we're all guilty of doing that. We're all guilty of just passing by some things that people have done for us and just totally ignoring the fact that it was a sacrifice for them, totally ignoring the fact that they went out of their way to make something happen for us. Now, I think we become so immune to people just being nice that we forget to do it. It's kind of like somebody that lives in Niagara Falls. Anybody ever been to Niagara Falls? Man, it's an amazing sight to go to. You should, if you've never been, it's worth a trip. Take your family, go ride up and see it, and just hang out. It's incredible. The roar of Niagara is something that you hear from miles around. It's just incredible to see this thing. And if you go, you will be blown away by it. But if you go to somebody who lives in Niagara Falls, they will tell you that they don't even hear the falls anymore. They've become, just desensitized to all of it because it just happens every day where they are. And for a lot of us, that's the way we treat the things that happen to us. We become lost in it. Thoreau said that if the stars only come out once a year, we will stop everything. We would stop everything to go out and look at them. But we've gotten so used to the stars that we've lost the wonder. And I think it's the same thing about things that people do. We've forgotten and lost the wonder that people would actually be nice to us and kind to us. Our culture and our society has now said, just keep going. It's all about you. Just get whatever you can get, and don't worry about what anybody else does for you. And so the thing is that we get into this routine of just everything happening around us, and we never stop to be truly thankful and grateful. We're like the little boy who was handed an orange by an older man, and the boy took the orange, and the mom said, "What do you say to the nice man?" And the little boy handed it back and said, "Peel it." That's how we've become in our lives, right? Oftentimes we get something and it's not exactly the way we want it, and so we even ask for something different. It becomes a routine. But here's the question. If we're really grateful, wouldn't we show it? If we're truly thankful for what somebody's done for you, wouldn't we demonstrate that thankfulness? Oftentimes, the cynicism that comes with maturity can create within us a belief that gratitude is just inferred or assumed. We just think people know we're thankful. But we need to demonstrate it, and we need to show it to them. So today, I want us to spend our time together really looking at this fact that, and this question of, wouldn't I show my gratitude if I was truly grateful? We're going to look at it in the Bible. At a story that really brings this home. You know, it's just amazing, right, that the Bible would teach us something that we really need to know and that we really struggle with, right? It's not a very surprising thing. It's in the Bible. It's there for us to learn from. So let's do that together. If you have your Bibles or your phone app or whatever, go ahead and open up to Luke chapter 17. And we're going to look at a very well-known story that we find there. Now, make sure that you understand, I say story, it's only a story because it's written in there. It is a true account of something that happened. And it's a true account of part of Jesus' life, and we want to look at it so that we can learn from it. Let me give you a little background. The story here catches up where Jesus is traveling. He's actually on his way back to Jerusalem so that he can do something very important. He's on his way back to Jerusalem so that he would eventually give his life on a cross for you and for me. He's on his way back knowing that something is about to take place that is going to be life-changing for every human being. So we find him here traveling near Samaria. The Jews hated the Samaritans who lived there because they were considered to be a half-breed, a mixed breed of people. And the Jews didn't like them at all. But here's Jesus, a Jew, traveling with a group of Jews, heading up to near this area. And he encounters a group of men. Here's what happens in Luke 17, verse 11 through 19. Let's read it together. On the way to Jerusalem, he was passing along between Samaria and Galilee. As he entered the village, he was met by 10 lepers, who stood at a distance and lifted up their voices, saying, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." When he saw them, he said to them, "Go and show yourselves to the priest." As they went, they were cleansed. Then one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back, praising God with a loud voice. And he fell on his face at Jesus' feet, giving him thanks. Now he was a Samaritan. Then Jesus answered, "Were not 10 cleansed? Where are the 9? Was no one found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner?" And he said to him, "Rise and go your way. Your faith has made you well." Now here's what happens. We often read this story really quickly, and we miss a lot of the things that are really in here to help us understand it. So let's slow it down a little bit and begin to really look and pull out some things that help us understand how important to be grateful it is. Here's what we see. We start with 10 men. There were 10 men who were struggling with the worst disease that they could have. There was this day and time, leprosy was an incredible thing. Leprosy was a word used at this point to really talk about skin diseases and things that we would see. We talk about it in this day as a very specific disease, but at this point, they would talk about anybody with any kind of skin disease. So here these guys are struggling with this. The ramifications physically, think about it, they're horrendous. It attacks the body, leaving sores, missing fingers, missing toes, damaged limbs. In many cases, the pain of leprosy goes away to numbness of all the digits, eventually leading to where digits and limbs actually fall off. This is one of the most tame pictures I could find to let you see what the effects of leprosy would be on an individual. Now, my wife Kelly and I had a chance to go to India several years ago, and we were able to go to a leper colony. So we were able to meet people, and people with hands like this came and put lays of flowers around our necks and worshiped with us. It was one of the most humbling times of my life to see somebody that looked like that, to be able to praise God and to be thankful for where they were. And so here's leprosy. Here's, I'm just telling you, don't do it right after lunch. But if you really want to see what the effects are, Google leprosy and check out some of the images. It's amazing what this disease does to people. That's very common. Leprosy was a terrible disease. It could take 30 years to run its course. And during that, entire limbs could just fall off of a person. It was terrible for them in that time. We can only imagine now. I mean, we have all kinds of medical processes and things like that that could help, but imagine this 2,000 years ago, what it must have been like. Bible tells us in the Old Testament how they treated and were to treat those with leprosy. In Leviticus 13, verse 45, it says, "The leprous person who has this disease shall wear torn clothes and let the hair of his head hang loose. And he shall cover his upper lip and cry out, 'Unclean, unclean.' He shall remain unclean as long as he has the disease. He is unclean. He shall live alone. His dwelling shall be outside the camp." Beth Moore, in her book, The One and Only, talks about going overseas to be able to minister. And she talks about going to a leper colony. It was one of her prayer requests that she could go and minister to the lepers there and to be able to share Jesus with them. And so she gets there, and she gets to the gate, and she walks on by. And she gets up the nerve, and she heads towards the gate again, and she can only pass by. Finally, she gets up the nerve one last time, and she goes to the gate, only to walk on by. She begged herself to go in, but she couldn't do it because of the fear that she would go in and because of the things that she had already seen and witnessed and had smelled and heard from the cries of those people, that she couldn't even go into the gate. And so she never made it in. This would be one of the most godly women we may know. She's one of the most incredible writers and really those teaching the gospel that I've ever been around. And here she was, not able to do this. She was afraid she would become violently ill while ministering to the people. She just couldn't handle it. This is a terrible disease. These people were shunned, and they were outcast. They were told they couldn't be around those they love. Think about the emotional impact of this disease. People couldn't be around the people that they love. They couldn't have contact with those who were healthy. They had not only physical pain, but this emotional pain, removed from their family, their community, their children, their grandchildren, unable to be part of their society, to be covered. Can you imagine what that would be like? I mean, maybe for some of us we feel shunned. Maybe we feel like we don't fit in. But can you imagine what it would be like to have to suffer in this way, physically and emotionally? That's where these 10 men were. They were suffering. And they see Jesus coming. They've heard about him. He's already healed some. They see him coming, and they begin to call out to him. And they ask him to have mercy on them, to come and to help them. They're yelling in loud voices because they're used to yelling everything. To yelling, "Unclean, unclean," and because of the damage it would take to their extremities and often their ears, they would have to yell. And they yell out to Jesus to come and help. "We want to be well." Jesus looks at him and says, "Go to the priest. You're healed." Doesn't come over to him. Doesn't touch him. It's not that Jesus was afraid to touch him. It was the fact that Jesus didn't have to touch him to heal him. The fact is that Jesus spoke the words and they were healed. Now, the lepers find themselves at a pretty interesting place. He says, go to the priest. The priest not only served on worship on the Sabbath, but they also were kind of like the health inspectors. They were the ones who were charged with looking at people and inspecting them and making sure they were healthy enough, that they were healed enough to be able to be back in society. Leprosy did not have a cure and doesn't have a cure, but at that point, the other skin diseases would be able to be cured and healed, and those people would be able to come back in. And so he sends them to the priest to be checked out. Now, here's the thing about these 10 men. At this moment, nothing's changed. He says, go, and they just turn and go. They're still looking at each other. Fingers are still missing. Noses are gone. Legs are missing. They're still on their crutches trying to get there. They just turn and go. But something happens in the midst of it. They turn and go, and the next thing you know, they begin to realize, wait a minute. Wait a minute, Johnny. I can actually point at you. Wait a minute. Here they are. Wait a minute. My crutch is stuck in my bandage because now my leg is there. What in the world? Can you imagine you didn't have a leg and all of a sudden it's there? Can you imagine what that would be like to have your prayers answered? You said, heal me, cleanse me, and all of a sudden you're healed and you're cleansed. If you've accepted Jesus in here, you should be able to understand what that felt like. But for them physically, they felt that. And at some point, as they're going to the priest, they're healed. Now, you got to imagine that when they felt that, man, you got two legs now where you had one and a half a little bit earlier. Man, you're running down the street. You got all your fingers in you're clapping your hands. You've been healed and your nose is back. You're taking in a good deep breath of the donkey stuff, you know? I mean, you're using it. You're excited about it. And here these guys are. Now they've taken off. But in the midst of it, something very interesting happens. They had broken to cheering and this madness, racing off to the priest to be told they're clean so that they can go back to their families. But one guy has something very interesting to say. Verse 15, then one of them, when he saw that he was healed, he turned back, praising God with a loud voice, and he fell on his face at Jesus' feet, giving thanks. Now, he was a Samaritan. Now, we're talking about these guys heading back to the temple, celebrating this returned gift of life. That life is back to normal. They're surely overtaken with what's going on, but one is more overtaken than the rest because now he's not just overtaken with being physically healed. He's overtaken by the fact that Jesus healed him, of who healed him. And he turns and he goes back thanking God. See, he would be reunited with his family. He would be reunited with his community. He would be reunited with all of the things, but all of that could hold and all of that could wait. All of the religious things could wait, but the spiritual couldn't wait any longer. And he falls on his face at the feet of Jesus. It says that he was praising God with a loud voice. The word that was used there for loud is the same word that we get our word megaphone from. He was overwhelmed. He was yelling out, celebrating the fact that he had been healed and that Jesus had done that. Now notice that Jesus didn't ask him for it. He didn't come to him. He didn't say, hey, make sure that when you go and you're healed that you come back. He didn't say that to any of them. He told them to go and they would be healed. But this one comes back. He gave freely. Jesus loves you and me for our praise of him. See, 10 men had prayed, but only one had praised. And as he's laying there declaring his gratitude, he surrenders himself to Christ. He not only gives himself up for physical healing like they had before, but now he gives himself up for spiritual healing. For you and for me, we have to come to a place to recognize that not only do we need to be healed physically oftentimes, not only do we need to be healed emotionally oftentimes, not that we need our circumstances changed many times, but the fact is that we need to be changed spiritually all of the time. All of us have a need. The Bible tells us that all of us have fallen short of the glory of God, that we've all fallen short of the standard that God has set for us, that we've all sinned. Every single one of us has done it. And the fact is that Jesus came not to heal us physically, not just to heal us physically, not just to heal us emotionally or any of those things, but he came most importantly to heal us spiritually. And that's why he died on a cross to pay the price for our sins, hanging there, giving his life so that you and I could be forgiven of our sins and set free from the bondage of the crippling disease of sin. Amen. Thank you. That's a good stuff. That he healed us for that. That we were set free from it whenever we come and decide that we understand who he is and what he's done for us. When we understand that Jesus did that so that we could be set free, we are healed spiritually. And that is a great thing. It's something that we should recognize. Here's the punchline, though, of the whole thing. That the guy who came and recognized that he needed spiritual healing wasn't one of the Jews who had, you know, were supposed to be the chosen ones, who were supposed to have it all figured out, who were supposed to be the elite of the world because they were God's chosen people. It wasn't them, though, that recognized that they needed more. It was the mixed breed guy that nobody wanted to be around. You see, that's us. That's you and me. We come just as we are. We come realizing that we're not perfect, that we're not all put together, that in fact on our own, that we are totally lost without Jesus. And we come and we recognize that he's offered us healing by what he's done on the cross for us. And we're able to accept that and be changed by it. But too often, I think we fall into the category of as long as God makes things good for me, as long as my circumstances are made okay, as long as everything is okay around me, then I'm okay, and thanks God. But the reality is we need to come and realize that there's more to it. Verse 17 says, "Then Jesus answered, 'Were not 10 cleansed? Where are the 9? Was no one found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner?' And he said to him, 'Rise and go your way. Your faith has made you well.'" And Jesus expressed some sadness and some disappointment. He's like, "Where are the rest of these guys?" And I gotta be honest. I was dealing with it this week. I kind of wondered if he looks out at the church like this today. He looks out and he says, "Where are all the people that I gave gifts to? Where are all the people that I gave salvation to? Where are the people that I equipped to do things and to do the purpose that I created them for? Where are all the people? I see them once a week, but where are they the rest of the week?" I know for me there's been times where I fell into the pattern of my thankfulness only came whenever I came to church and was able to sing the songs on the screen. There was a time where only my thanksgiving only came when I got what I wanted from God, but I never was ready to give to God. I was always looking at the things that he had done for me and was like, "Gosh, that's really cool," but I really never sought him out to say, "God, what is it that you want me to do with this cool stuff that you've given me? What is it that you want me to do with the talents that you've equipped me with? What is it that you want me to do for you?" I think oftentimes we all find ourselves in that place. We're the ones who remember the condition I brought him from. Where are the ones that cried out to me when things weren't good and I made them better. Where are they now? Do we find ourselves there? Man, I got to believe if I was a news reporter that day and I went and, you know, like they do today, they got to go find everybody. And so if I went and found all the other nine guys, I bet if I went and found all of them and said, hey, you know, what's up? This guy went and showed how thankful he was. And Jesus said something pretty cool to him that now he was healed and had been saved. Now, you guys, what about you? Well, surely they would all say, yeah, I'm thankful. I got my hand is back. I got my legs back. I got all these things. I got my life back. I'm really cool. But, you know, it was kind of cool because, you know, I'm not sure that it was Jesus that did it, maybe. Maybe it was just circumstances. You know, maybe it was a coincidence. Maybe it was just, you know, that I just needed to go this way and all that happened. But yeah, I'm thankful that I got it back. I'm sure that's the way many of us are today. That we're thankful for salvation. We're thankful for church. We're thankful for our families being in church with us. We're thankful for a lot of things. But are we really thankful to Him? Is our thankfulness there, that in our gratitude and our gratefulness, is it truly there? See, being grateful is much more than an internal feeling or attitude. That's usually where it gets to. We feel it inside. We're excited. You know, we're glad things are good, but it stays internal. But gratitude is much more than that. Gratitude is, it needs to be demonstrated. Our gratitude for God for all that He's done should be something that we can't contain. You know, I think about things that people do for me, and you know, it was really cool last night. We went out to dinner, and we were waiting for checks to get paid, and some group had to leave early, and the next thing we know, they got their check, and our check never came. And they got out of there. We asked the waitress for a check, and they said, hey, they've already paid for it. And it was amazing to feel appreciated and loved that somebody did that for us. And I thought about running out into the parking lot, thought about just running them down, but they were already gone, and it was really cool to have that happen. And so the first thing I did today was grab them when I saw them and say thank you to them, because I wanted them to know how much I appreciated that. I wanted them to know personally, face to face, how much I appreciated that, because it was an amazing thing for them to just love us enough to do that. We need to be able to do that, because here's the truth of today. Here's what we need to understand about gratitude. We need to understand about it not being stuck inside, but it needs to come out. Is that gratitude is not gratitude. It's only gratitude when it's expressed. Gratitude is only gratitude when it's expressed. You may be thankful for what you have. I'm often thankful for what I have and for what people do, but is it really gratitude unless I express it? Unless I tell them thank you, until I show them how thankful I am, is it really gratitude? Am I really grateful? If you're truly grateful and our hearts are full of gratitude, we'll express it through our actions. We won't be able to hold that inside. I was convicted all week as I've struggled with this. I talked to Kelly because I struggle so often with being that guy that just, you know, is the let me chase you down in the parking lot kind of guy to say thank you, because, you know, that kind of blows my coolness a little bit, because I am really cool. I'm just saying. Okay. I'm joking, okay? I'm not really. But anyway, you know, there's often times where, you know, I struggle with expressing that, just getting it out, because I move on so fast. And I'm thinking, if I can move on that fast, am I really thankful? Am I thankful to the level that I need to be thankful at? And so for you and me, we need to understand that this is a time when we see and are thankful for something that we need to make sure that we show it. And what I want to do during this series is I want us to not just see thankfulness and not learn more about it, but I want us to demonstrate it. I want this to be a month where we truly spend the next 30 days expressing our thanks and our praise for people who mean a lot to us. And so each week, I'm going to do something that's going to demonstrate how thankful I am to some people. And so I want to start off this week by calling up two guys that mean a lot to me. they are very important in what I'm able to do here and what God does through this church. And it could certainly operate without me because of these two guys. And so Gabe and Eddie, will you please come up here a second? Yeah, that means like get up and walk. Come on. Time's a ticking. I ain't got all day. No. See how thankful I am for you. Come on. Oh, they'll be wanting to get the Blue Bay in a minute. Come on. Yeah, I know it. I never heard before, have I? Anyway, these two guys, Pastor Gabe is our associate and student pastor, and just does a lot for us, and a lot for me too spiritually. Just I know he prays for me. I know he encourages me and does a lot of things. Pastor Eddie is our care pastor, and from day one, when God brought us together here in this interesting merger of churches 4 years ago, he brought me a very good friend and a mentor, and these guys have just meant a lot. And so I just want to tell you publicly how much I do appreciate you guys. I love y'all. Y'all are important to me. And so with last month being Pastor Appreciation, I wanted to just show you how much I appreciate you. And so have some gifts for you. Gabe, I'll give you yours first. This is a pen. And it's not just an ordinary pen. It's a one-of-a-kind pen made by a Baptist men missionary. That wood is actually from wood out of the Guatemalan, out of a Baptist children's home in Guatemala. And so it is a one-of-a-kind pen. I want you to have that and remember just how important you are in the ministry that God has here for us. And so I want you to have that. So, Eddie, this is a Eddie Connell pen. This one, man, was just made for you, and I couldn't get you another one. If you can tell, it has a bullet on this end, and then the little thing that holds, you know, on your pocket is a rifle. All right, but most importantly, it's a one-of-a-kind pen because it is made out of a deer antler, and made by the same missionary, and he supports a Haiti mission by making those pens. And so I want you guys to have those. Remember how important you are in the ministry that God does here. And I want you to remember that, just that you made a difference in my life at some point. Whether we're together or we're not, I want you to know that. And so I appreciate you guys. So, love you.
Thank you.
Yes.
Thank you.
So those are important to us. They're important to you. They're two of your pastors. And so I want them to know, and each week there'll be somebody that'll be up here different. So in case you get offended that you didn't get called up here, just hang on, you might be coming. So, or maybe I don't appreciate you. I don't know. No, I'm just kidding. I won't get to everybody. But I will get to everybody individually, and I will assure you of that before this 30 days is up. So here's the reality. The Bible says that we need to be grateful. We need to know that gratitude is only gratitude when it's expressed. The story, I believe, is a parable for you and I today, that we need to be able to look at it and see what comes out of it. There are a lot of people, especially in church, that have the give me disease. The give me this and give me that. God, give me what I want. Give me what I want, the way I want. Give me what I want, when I want, and the way I want. I want it to be, God, give me. I've been guilty of the give me, God, disease. But I believe that if we look at the story of the lepers, and we need to be able to recognize our disease, recognize where we are, and then be able to cry out for healing and accept it from the one who can truly heal us. 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 16 through 18 says this: rejoice always, pray without ceasing, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. The first thing we need to understand is that we need to recognize who Christ is. that he is the Son of God, that he did come to heal us of our greatest disease, of sin, which separated us from God, that he hung on a cross, giving us the true remedy for that. He hung on a cross, giving his life, paying the price for our sin. And because he's paid that price, he was buried in a tomb and raised on the third day, you and I can now recognize who he is, that we can see him, therefore, being the sacrifice for us, accept that for ourselves, be saved, and truly be able to rejoice always, to be able to pray without ceasing, and truly be able to give thanks in all circumstances. If you want to know the remedy to ungratefulness, if you want to know how to take off the costume of ungratefulness, recognize the sacrifice of Jesus, the price that's been paid for you and for me, and accept it for yourself, and live your life knowing that Jesus is the answer. Listen, gratitude needs to be expressed. Demonstrate it to him first by accepting him. Then demonstrate it by being thankful for the things that you have. And one of the greatest ways to do that is to not only thank him, but to thank his people. Here's what I want to give you as a next step for this week. Your next step this week is to acknowledge gratitude to three people. Come on, three people in your life that you've never said thank you to before. Just curious, anybody ever said thank you to their mail person? I know they do it for a job. I know they do that as a job. But I think most of us forget that. Maybe it's a delivery guy. Maybe it's the person that waits on you in the restaurant. Maybe it's just somebody brand new. But to this week, I want to invite you to come along with me and let's tell three people thank you that we've never told thank you to before. Let's be thankful and let's express it. Just as an example and just a symbol of being thankful to God for all he's done for us. If you've never accepted Jesus, listen, today's the day. Today's the day that you accept it first, to be thankful for the greatest thing ever done for you. And then you can join me in taking the next step by just being willing to thank three people for what they've done. This series is going to be amazing. We're going to be able to grow together and minister together. You're going to have an opportunity on the way out to grab a devotional, to study along. We can all be praying along, reading along together for the next 30 days. You're going to have opportunities to tell people thank you along the way. You're going to be able to join me in thanking people for things they do here at URA Community. You're going to be able to just be part of 30 days of giving thanks and of giving praise. Now, let me just make sure that you understand. Acknowledging two of our pastors is not making them idols. It's not putting them on a pedestal. It's not doing any of that stuff. It's acknowledging the fact that God has done something amazing in their lives. And today, I want to be able to do that for you, and I want you to be able to do that for whoever it is that God puts on your heart to be able to do that. This is going to be an active month. You're going to do a lot of things. You're going to go a lot of places. You're going to talk to a lot of people. And that's going to be because of what November usually is. But because of this 30 days of praise, we're going to be able to do like the lepers, and we're going to tell, or the leper, and we're going to be able to tell people out loud, thank you for what you've done, and to be able to praise God out loud for what he's done. Let's pray together. God, thank you for today. Thank you for moving in this place. God, I thank you so much for our pastors, and I pray that you would minister to them and bless them for all that they sacrificed to give to you. I thank you for those two men that have encouraged me so much. I pray that you'll bless them. God, I pray that you'll encourage us today to be thankful for what we have, to not just say we're thankful, God, but to express it in the way that lets people know that we truly are. God, I pray most of all that for each one of us, that we express our gratitude to you for the sacrifice that you made of sending your son Jesus to pay the price for our sins. God, I pray that today we would be thankful and grateful for salvation so that we can understand and so that you can know just how important it is. God, there is no greater decision than to decide to accept that. And I pray in these moments for those that are here that have never done it, that they would be willing to accept. God, for those of us that have, but we've become numb to it, and we've become desensitized to the move of your Spirit in our lives, God, may we experience fresh and new here today to know and remember when we accepted it, and to be excited and energized to tell people about it. To God, not just say we're thankful, but to demonstrate it by our actions to you. And we pray that in Jesus' name, amen.